Thank you again for today. We come to this Thanksgiving Sunday this week of designated and getting ready for that one day when we are to give thanks to you. We have looked at this already in the terms of what that means for our country and the American Thanksgiving and where it comes from and the history of it. We've looked at the Old Testament and seen, particularly in one instance, how that was applied by the nation of Israel when you rescued them. Today we move into the New Testament, and we just want to gather again. We want to see and understand what you have to say about this. We want your take on it, Father. It's one thing to look at it historically. It's another thing to look at it biblically. So help us to grasp that today and take it to heart, because it is indeed an issue of the heart and the spirit more than anything else. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. You know, undoubtedly, as we've seen over the last few weeks, giving thanks is a biblical concept. And you know, we've looked at sort of some of the things, what the Bible says about it in the Old Testament and where it is. And there are Old Testament laws relegating times of thanksgiving, you know, where it's legal, where they have to come to the temple and give thanks. We looked at a few of the Psalms last week in the very beginning, where those were more spontaneous, giving thanks for specific blessings. And then we looked at, in detail, when God rescued the children of Israel from Egypt and Pharaoh's army had been destroyed, and they stopped for 3 days and had a celebration of Thanksgiving. And probably where that is the most relatable to what we do in our country, and how in that first week we went into detail about our first Thanksgiving in this country, the history of it, and how it wasn't about thanking the Indians for their help. It was about thanking God for His provision and His protection. And so today, you know, I want us to sort of, as we get ready for Thanksgiving, really anchor this in our New Testament faith in Jesus Christ. We're believers in Christ, as were those first Puritan settlers in this country that we started this whole thing all the way, you know, back then. They were believers in Jesus Christ, and they were thankful to the Lord for what He had carried them through. And that set the precedent. But what they were doing was something that was extremely anchored in the New Testament. So what we have and what you have in the outline today is sort of similar to what we've been doing, trying to capture an essence of everything that's said. There's a lot of verses that you can read through in the Gospels where Jesus said thank you in prayers and different things. We're going to look at a couple of those. But we're going to look at just almost every other verse about related to Thanksgiving is going to be in your outline. You want to know what the New Testament says outside of Jesus just saying thank you in prayers. They're almost all there, and we're going to draw some conclusions from that and see how vitally important this was as a concept. But in one of the things that where Jesus says thank you that is so important to us, to where He says it in every time it's recorded in the Gospels and in 1 Corinthians 11, is at the time of communion. Now, we just took communion. But when you read through the Gospels and you read through 1 Corinthians 11, when they talk about, you know, this is what happened that night, what you find, like in Matthew 26, it says, and He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So as Jesus instituted this, what we take as communion and what we celebrate as communion or the Last Supper, you know, or you know, all the different names that it comes by, it was something that Jesus did, and He was showing them, illustrating for them what was about to happen. And what happened was He was about to die on the cross. And the old covenant, the old relationship, the Old Testament, the old covenant relationship with God was dying with Him on the cross, and there was going to be a new covenant relationship with God, a new way of relating to God through His blood. Because it says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So He's saying, this is going to be, when you drink this, I want you to remember what's going to happen. This represents My blood, which is shed for you. This is the new covenant. He's establishing a new covenant. And He initiates the new covenant, this new relationship we have with God, through His sacrifice and through His shed blood, with thanksgiving. He thanked God for it. In Luke 22, on the other side of communion is the bread. And it says, and He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this body which is given for you, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So when he gives them the bread, the drink, the wine or the grape juice represented his shed blood, which was the new covenant. The bread represented his broken body. He was about to be killed as a sacrifice that would carry away our sins. That our sins would be put on him, and his death of his body would pay the price for our sins, and his shed blood would wash our sins away. And he initiated that new covenant with the giving of thanks. Now, you know what we don't have here? We don't have what he said. It just says he gave thanks. Did he stand there and say, guys, thank you all guys for being here? I don't think that's what he said. I think he thanked God. But that's one of those questions when we get to heaven. Jesus, when you come out to get to heaven, Jesus, when you were there that last night, and they were in a little Passover meal, and in the middle of the Passover meal, you took this loaf of unleavened bread, and you just sort of broke it, and you said thanks. The scripture says you said thanks, and said, this is my body, given for you. He says, what did you thank God for? And you were about to die. This shed blood was your blood that was going to be shed on the cross. What did you thank God for? Did you thank God for the provision of what you had in your hand? Traditionally, in the Passover meal, that's probably what he was doing. He was thanking God for what God had placed before them, what they had blessed with, and then thanking God for that because it was going to be changed. It was going to take on a new meaning in the communion. And so, looking at that way, looking at just Jesus in that instance, just Jesus' prayer in that instance, sets the stage for what this means for us. If we can get just those two things, that when we give thanks, almost always when we give thanks, it is for something, right? We give thanks for something, usually for whatever is in front of us. When we sit down at our dinner table, and we eat at the dinner table, once a week? Most of the time we're eating in the family room, But we eat in the family room, it doesn't matter why we're in the family room eating, but we pray. Now, when we pray at the dinner table, we're not praying for yesterday's meal. We're not praying for tomorrow's meal. We're praying for what's right in front of us. That's part of what Jesus did. And as we have a heart of thanksgiving to God, that's got to be part of it. That's got to be part of it. That having a heart of thanksgiving is a way of seeing life. It is a framework. It is a lens through which we see our daily lives. It is that lens which looks at what is right in front of us. And with a grateful heart. Now, sometimes what is right in front of us is absolutely wonderful, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you're sitting there having a meal, and it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, other times, you're having, I'm going to say pizza, but, honestly, I've never had a pizza I didn't like. But I've had some meals that, it's like, I can remember one. I can remember one Thanksgiving meal many, many years ago, and a family was gathered around the table, And the matriarch had made the pies and made these beautiful pumpkin pies, and we're looking at them and drooling over them and everything. But in getting caught up in cooking Thanksgiving, she forgot the sugar. I mean, that was 45 years ago. I still have that taste in my mouth. It was pretty bad, Sometimes what we have in front of us isn't very good, We were talking about Kim and John. Sometimes what's on the plate in front of them in the experience of their life isn't very good. It doesn't have a good prognosis and doesn't have a future. And sometimes we need to understand that this concept of having a grateful heart before God and being thankful for what is right in front of us isn't related to what is in front of us. It's not about that. Because that can be really, really good, or really, really bad, or absolutely neutral. It can be just another meal. It can be a McDonald's Happy Meal. Whoop-dee-doo! Doesn't matter what that is. What matters is that grateful heart we have before God. You know? And some of the greatest victories people have had over some of the greatest adversities they have faced, their victory has been based upon the fact that they were thankful to God, even in the midst of the most horrible things they ever went through. So we learn our first lesson. Being grateful isn't about what you're being grateful for. It is about who you're grateful to. It is about having a heart of faith. Because the other side of that, what Jesus gave thanks for, was the fact that when he gave thanks for it, it changed its meaning. It was no longer just unleavened bread. It now represented something. It now meant something. It was no longer just a cup of wine. It now meant something. It represented his shed blood. It represented a new covenant, a new relationship. And what we need to understand is that if we approach this and are thankful for the things right in front of us and for the people right in front of us, we are focused upon God and what God is doing. And that changes the meaning of what that is. Suddenly, it's not just getting to have lunch or having dinner. Suddenly, it's God's provision. It's about God. Suddenly, it's about whatever God is doing in your life, and this that is right in front of you represents what God is doing in your life, and it changes its meaning. It suddenly makes sense in those other verses in the New Testament that says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. It changes everything we do. It puts meaning to everything we do. It puts meaning to everything we receive. Every day is a gift of God. Every person in your life is a gift of God. You see, and that attitude, that framework, that lens of thanksgiving changes your perspective, changes how you see your life and how you see what is going on in your life. That is why it is so important. That is why when you look through the outline, that's why there's so many verses about thanksgiving. And they're not about thanksgiving. There are only a few of them that are literally where thanksgiving is the subject of the verse. But what we see isn't that here's this great teaching on Thanksgiving where God is, no, like that. When you read through all these verses, that heart of thanksgiving is woven into this myriad of situations, myriad of people that Paul and others are writing to, and the heart of thanksgiving is woven into the very spirit of who we are in Christ. And that's the way it should be. Because if we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross, if we're focused on being new creations in Him, if we're focused on being believers and giving our lives so that every word and deed can give glory to the name of the Lord, and we have that thankful heart, then what happens out here, what comes down the road at us, all of the good and all of the bad, that doesn't matter. I can tell you that in your life, there are going to be a lot of good things that are going to happen even yet. I can also tell you that in your life, there are going to be a lot of bad things that happen yet. Those things are not as important as the heart of thanksgiving. And I'm not saying those things aren't dramatic. You know, there's going to be wonderful blessings. There's going to be love and grace and sharing and peace and joy and all kinds of things that take place in the context of the family. And there's children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and parents and people to celebrate. There's all kinds of wonderful things that are going to happen. That's one side of it. The other side of it is there's not a single person alive that's going to be alive. There's nobody in this room that's probably going to be alive 60 years from now. We're all going to be, hopefully, in heaven. And most of the time, when most of us get to that point, There may be a few in here. Statistically, there'll be a few in here that'll have some kind of accident. One moment they're doing their thing and perfectly happily, the next minute they're in heaven. But most of us, that ain't going to be easy. That's going to be the toughest thing they go through, is that last part of their life, when things start falling apart and this body, which is made to live forever, starts fighting to live forever, even though it is here and it is sin condemned and it's dying. And things start to not work. And sometimes the most difficult things we go through is that last section. And how do we get through that? With a heart of thanksgiving. You know? Because it's like one of those good news, bad news things. The bad news is all of this is happening and it's miserable. The good news is there's an outcome. There's a heaven. We sat last night on the couch and I had the phone on, and I had been down to see Dad in the hospital a couple times this week, and three times, and called Delcy last night to see what the outcome was, and she went on to, you know, we love Delcy. She'll say, make a long story short, and then we're on the phone about 45 minutes. And she needed to talk it out, you know, and I get that, you know. And she loves Dad so much, and is such a wonderful, you know, spouse and wife and stepmom, and it was just absolutely wonderful to watch them together. And as she's talking, and just, you know, letting that steam out from what she's been, you know, the burden she carries, and talking about how the nurses and everyone are basically. She says, I know, I get it, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to prepare me. She says, they're trying to prepare all of us. They're talking about hospice, and they're talking about palliative care, and talking about comfort care, and talking about making those arrangements. Are we ready for what's coming, you know? And even talking about the upcoming surgery, where they're going to probably have to take off, you know, that bottom portion of his leg. And basically, honestly, saying there's about a 20% survival rate in that. You know, and just sort of getting, she says, I know they're getting us ready. And she said that to us and to John. He says, and so we would talk, and I would talk about the fact that, okay, you know, she said, you know, John, it's one of these times you're just going to wake up and you're going to be there in heaven with Jesus and all the people that have gone before, and I'm going to be there pretty shortly after that, probably too, in heaven's time. And he says, you know, we take great comfort from that. We take great comfort from that. See, if you have that heart, that heart of gratitude, what happens, what actually happens, pretty much irrelevant, isn't it? It's going to be good, and it's going to be bad. I promise you both. But that's not what's important. What's important is having that heart of gratitude, that framework, that viewpoint and perspective that comes from the Word of God and comes from the person of Jesus Christ alive in us through the power of His Holy Spirit, that tells us that we have a hope, and that hope is certain, that hope is set, and that hope is the hope of heaven. And that this world is not our home, that we're just passing through. See, when we have that attitude, suddenly what Jesus did makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, this is Jesus, this is literally hours before they arrest him and they start beating him and he goes to the cross. This is hours before that. This is just on the precipice of the worst suffering he's going to go through as he takes our sin upon himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is on the precipice of that. And you can believe, I don't think Jesus stood there and he had a long face and he was all sad and this is going to be terrible. I think, God, just thank you so much for this. Because he knew that no matter what happened to him, he knew where he was going. And he knew what he was doing out of love. Because you see, the heart of gratitude is anchored in a heart of love. So God could watch his son go through that, just like we watch our loved ones go through this. So Jesus could go through it himself. Why? So thankful that he got to do something that would literally save his people for all eternity. that he would do something so dramatic and so awful and so terrible and go through something so that he could spend eternity with you. I mean, you got to make that personal. I mean, he died for the sins of everybody. I get that. He died for the sins of all, but it only gets forgiven. Only those who come to him in faith get that applied to them. They're the only ones that get to go to heaven. It was those who actually come and respond to that in faith. I get that. But what you have to do when you talk about this kind of love that God has for us, that has to be personal. That has to be personal, that God, Jesus did this so that he could spend eternity with you. That God sees you with that kind of value. And that's that old trick used to do in youth group. You know, let's all quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever, and then they would say, now you say it to yourself and you insert your name here. For God so loved me that he gave his only son, that if I would believe. See, that's the idea. That's the heart. That's the where the anchor of that grateful heart is anchored in the very love of God. And when you have that kind of a heart, when you have that kind of a perspective, when you have that kind of a viewpoint, it changes. It is a game changer. It changes everything. Because you cannot have a heart full of gratitude and grace anchored in love and have bitterness and be a bitter person. They cannot exist in the same space and time. You cannot have a heart of gratitude anchored in the love of God and Jesus Christ and be a person who is angry. Angry at a specific person for a specific situation, or angry at the whole situation going on in the world, or just angry in general. They cannot exist in the same person at the same time. And here's the kicker. You get to choose.
I remember sitting in my office many years ago, and I had this guy in my office, and, what's going on, man? What's going on? He says, man, I'm just so angry all the time. Well, I said, whose fault is that? And he started going down all the things the people he was angry at, and he was angry at his wife, and he was angry at his kids, and he was angry at his boss, and, I mean, he was just angry at everybody. And he wasn't really happy with me. One of my favorite books is by John Maxwell. It's the 25 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, or 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. But they're just laws of leadership. They're just, and that's, there's 21 of them. And I opened it up, and I'm flipping through, and I said, read this. I opened this chapter. And the chapter was, I forget what the official title was. The subtitle was, If Bob Has a Problem with Everybody, the problem is probably Bob. Yeah, it's the Bob principle. That's it. It's the Bob principle. And he sort of, but then that started the discussion. He says, I can get why you're angry. I understand those situations, and those are things that make people angry. I said, but do you understand that you being angry and or bitter is your choice? No one can make you do that. You like to think that, he makes me so angry. No. Granted, they do really stupid things. And granted, they can do really hurtful things. And they can do things that are inadvertent, and they can do things that are deliberate, that deliberately are trying to hurt you. I get that. But you being angry is your choice. And you or I being bitter is our choice. That in the power of God that he gives to us,
when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and we're baptized into Him, and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us forever, and God dwells in us through His Holy Spirit so that we can live for Him and in His power and understand His Word and live that out in His Word, that one of the greatest gifts He gives to us, either before and after our salvation, is the power to choose. He wasn't happy. He said, if you like being angry, you keep making that choice. If you want to not be angry, let's talk about other choices you can make. This week, I read a quote by Nelson Mandela. Speaking to his people right after he won the election in South Africa. In every other country, in every other African country, where there had been a revolution and the local indigenous tribes, the blacks of the area, had taken control of the government and thrown out what they saw as their white oppressors, there had been retaliation and death and horrible, horrible things had been wrought upon them. Not that that hadn't happened the other way. That's not the issue. But when those revolutions took place, you read the history of those African countries, it was awful. And Nelson Mandela told his people, when great harm has been done unto us, healing can only happen when we begin to forgive. He taught his people they had to make a choice. See, and having a grateful heart is a choice. And it's a choice to God. It's a choice that turns our heart and our spirit and our mind and focuses upon God and upon Jesus Christ and upon the Spirit, upon His Word, upon His people, and upon all of the good things that He is doing and all the things He is doing, even in the bad things in our life. It's a choice that we make that focuses our heart in a certain direction. And He gives us the privilege, He gives us the power, He gives us the freedom to make that choice. Now, the thing is, God is going to honor your choice. We see that all through Scripture. And if you choose, like Pharaoh, you choose to turn from God, turn away from what God wants, and do your own thing, He's going to honor your choice. If you choose to be angry and bitter, you're going to reap that in your own heart, in your own soul, and you're going to destroy everybody around you. But if you choose to be a person of faith, in Jesus Christ, if you choose to be a person that strives to live in Christ-like love with a grateful heart anchored in the love of God shown on the cross of Christ, then He will honor that choice. See, God will not make you do anything. He will not force you to do anything. But He will work in you as you respond in faith. That's why Thanksgiving is so important. That's why, across the board, when you ask people what's their favorite holiday, 8 out of 10 people are going to say Thanksgiving in this country. And a lot of them aren't even believers. Why would they choose that? Because deep down inside, there is that sense when we choose to be thankful, we choose to look outside of ourselves, we choose to be thankful to someone, even if we can't identify it, someone somewhere else for their blessings, and we choose to take our eyes off the garbage, eyes off our problems, eyes off the world, eyes off all this stuff, and we focus it on something else and be grateful, it is good. And people like that. Even when they don't get it in faith, even when they're not believers, that hits the chord of the human heart. And it plays music in the heart that people want to hear. When you add that to all the other verses, in fact, and I'm not going to go through all these verses at this point, but I'm going to pick a few. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That every victory, every good thing, everything we've ever overcome comes through Him. And we're to be grateful to God for everything that happens and everything like that. We need to see that. We need to understand that. We need to understand that passage of Thessalonians that basically tells us that we are to give thanks to God. And it literally says, 5:18 or something like that, that this is God's will for you. We like to think of God's will differently. And we bought into a real lie. We like to think in terms of very specific situations. God, you know, this group has offered me a job, and this group has offered me a job, and what is your will, Lord? Which job should I have? What's your will for me here? You know, I'm going to be honest. God could care less. Because His will for you isn't that you have this job or have that job. His will for you isn't that you live in this city or this city. His will for you isn't that you marry this girl versus this girl. You know what His will for is for you? That whether you take that job or that job, live in this house or that house, marry this girl or this girl, that you act like Jesus Christ. That's His will. It has to do with character. It has to do with Christ-likeness. It has to do with this grateful heart. You can't have a Christ-like character and be like Jesus in any situation without that grateful heart. They are two sides of the same coin. So He says very specifically, this is God's will. You want to know what God's will for you? It has to do with what kind of person you are. Not where you work, who you're married to, or what you do, or what your hobbies are. It has to do with what kind of person you are. And being Christ-like or not. And being Christ-like is anchored in a grateful heart. A heart anchored in the love of God. See, when we get that, then when you read through all these verses, and I hope you do today, I hope you take this and read through these. If you're going to read through them today, do it on Thanksgiving. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if we actually stopped on Thanksgiving Day? Bless you. And gave thanks. I mean, most of the time on Thanksgiving Day, if we give thanks, it's, you know, we finally got everything ready. It's all sitting there. You know, it's all picture perfect on the table with the golden turkey, and it's all wonderful. Start taking pictures. And, okay, it's time to eat. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so hungry. You know, we attack the food. How about starting a new tradition in your family? Make at least part of Thanksgiving Day be about Thanksgiving. You can do it in a lot of ways. You can do it on a light level. We do it on a light level at our house. And it doesn't matter whether there's four of us sitting at the table or we've had 27 sitting at the table at Thanksgiving Day. Everybody has on their plate a couple of pieces of, you know, that really colorful Indian corn you can get. You know, little kernels, all different colors. And we have a little clay dish that Adam or Tim made. Who made that? Adam? When they were in preschool. You know how they make these little clay things, you know, it's a little clay rough, you know. I mean, just, you know, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things is like, okay. A little tiny clay thing that one of the kids made when they were little. And it doesn't matter how good the food is. It doesn't matter if it gets cold. We go around the table, you take your pieces of Indian corn and you place it in the dish and you tell us something you're thankful for that each one of those represents. That's light level, you know. Maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe you need to do something else. Maybe before you do that, you need to sit down today or tomorrow before you get to Thursday. I read this principle, and I totally agree with it. That, you know, and I do stuff on the computer all the time. But when you take a pen in hand, and you take a pen or pencil to paper and physically write something out on a piece of paper, it is almost impossible to think about anything else than what you're writing down. because there's so much of you in part of that, because it's visual, it's tactical, it's skills, it's all kinds of things that it's almost impossible to physically, and you can sit there, and I've done it, I can sit there on the computer and be and thinking about a whole hundred other things. But you cannot take a pen to paper and write things out and be thinking about other stuff, because you have to be focused, you have to be watching, you have to be, you know, totally involved in that. So how about taking a piece of paper and writing across the top, Thanksgiving 2014. You don't have to number the list, but just start writing something you're thankful for on each line. And go from general to specific. See, most of the time we'll stop at general. Oh, I'm just thankful to God. I'm thankful for my family. You know, I'm thankful that God loves us. Okay, good. List those things out. That's wonderful. I'm not saying those aren't good things. But then get specific. What specifically are you thankful for? What in your life are you specifically thankful that God brought into your life? Who are you specifically thankful for that God brought into your life? What lessons have you learned over the last few years of life that you're specifically thankful for? What material blessings that you have that you're using in the midst of everyday life that you are so thankful for, that you see as something from God? Go from the general to the specific. And you have between now and Thanksgiving to write that out. And somewhere on Thanksgiving Day, you don't have to get up and read that to your family. But it might be a good idea to prepare it ahead of time so that on Thanksgiving Day, you can share that with God. Maybe for the first time, Thanksgiving will be about giving thanks. It will change your focus. Just like Jesus did in communion for us. It changes our focus. Because having a grateful heart isn't just about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, as we celebrate it this week, is an American tradition, steeped in our history of Christians coming to this country to live biblically in biblical freedom. That's what it's about. That's why they came. That's what they were grateful for. It almost killed them. But they were grateful to God. And they invited those around them to share their gratitude and their celebration of thanks to God. It's a specific American thing. But you see, for us as believers, every day, when you have a grateful heart, every day is a day of seeing, recognizing, and receiving the gifts of God, and responding to it with a grateful heart every day. It's no wonder for many Christians, Thanksgiving is much more important and much more enjoyable than Christmas or Easter or anything else. Because it truly touches the heart that has been changed by God. Take the outline home. Read those verses. Make notes in your Bible if you need to about what they're being thankful for. That's a way to look at this. You look at those verses and say, who is being thankful for? What were they being thankful for? Express those things. Write those things. Write them out. Get them in your mind. If you don't write it down, you probably won't remember it. And then begin to approach God with a grateful heart. You know, when you step out of your house in the morning, or if you never leave the house, you step out of your bedroom. I know on Sunday morning, I tried to start this. I started this about a year ago on Sunday mornings, a year or two ago on Sunday mornings, and I get out. And you know, I'm glad just nobody's around. They would just think I'm nuts. But I get out of my truck, and I usually park on the other side. And I usually get right in the middle of the driveway. And I always sort of look around to make sure everything's okay, you know, you know. Situational awareness. Make sure everything's okay. And I sort of look and make sure there's nothing going on and nobody hiding in the bushes. And not that I'm paranoid. Just, you know, want to be safe. And eventually I look at the cross. And I usually spend a minute or two right there in the middle of the parking lot saying, Lord God, thank you. Your place, your people, your day, your word, your service. It's about you. It's not about us, not about me. Then I run through a little thing on my mind. Maybe it's time to start doing that every day. You know? I mean, pick the time. Believe me, you got to pick the right time to do it because it won't work. If you wait till you get up and you stand in the bathroom and look at yourself in the mirror and do this, it isn't going to work. Okay? I guarantee you that. It's not going to work. I don't do that. I don't stand in front of the bathroom window and start in front of the mirror in the bathroom and start thanking God. I chuckle with him. He's got a great sense of humor. So I remember what that image used to look like. He's got a great sense of humor. Find the time. Focus your heart. And if you can focus your heart on Thanksgiving as a believer in Jesus Christ, anchored in the Word of God and the love of God, it changes your perspective on everything, the good and the bad. And then everything you do in word or in deed can be in the name of and for the glory of Jesus. That's what it's about. Father, today we want to thank you as a church. You have blessed us. We have been here a long time. Father, this church has been right here for a long time. It's never been a big church. It's not been your will for us. But it's been a church of faith, a church of service, and a church of love. We've had our ups and downs, as all organizations do. But Father, today, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. You started this congregation in 1964. It's now 2014, 50 years. Thank you, Lord, for all of that time, all of those families, all of that service that your church here did, right here in this community. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in our families, that we have families, people that love us or have loved us. We thank you for the church family that we can be part of even today. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. We thank you for carrying us through all the difficulties we faced, dealing with health and finances and situations, all the ones we're going to face. And you're going to give us victory through. Father, help us to be focused upon you, that Thanksgiving would perhaps take on its truest meaning this year for us, in a heart that is focused, a heart that is changed, a heart that is anchored in the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen.